about. So it's pretty neat, I think. I usually never bring my phone up here, but I've got something I want to read at the very end that I wrote this morning. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. I woke up this morning, read all the way through the holiday. The holidays are hard for me because I don't know how I like to read the book. So, I have certain set times of reading, morning, then some in the afternoon and late evening. But, when you don't have anything to do sometimes, I just, read and read and read. But no messages. And I'm like, Lord, tomorrow's Wednesday, he didn't know, Got up this morning, if I was comparing it to, a painter. I had no canvas, no paint, nothing. And then I told Peyton that, and Peyton goes, I thought you were a preacher, not a painter. Anyway. But then all of a sudden, somewhere in the midst of this day, we really got down and messages, the scriptures are nothing but vehicles to get God's point across through me to you. Amen? Sometimes the verses are just, yes, God shoots through the Holy Spirit, shoots through your brain and says, here, remember this scripture, you can tie it into what I'm trying to say to your people. Amen? To my people, through you, right? Somewhat under shepherd of God. Y'all got the... Are y'all ready to get in the Word? My favorite night to preach is Wednesday night. Do you know that? Get real successful, you can have an assistant pastor, and it's like, man, I ain't letting nobody preach on Wednesday night. You can get that. Never mind. Y'all get myself in trouble. All right, let's jump down there. Y'all ready? 1 Samuel 17, 38. 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. Can I tell y'all something before we get started? God has no problem with sending you into trouble to bring about His will in your life for His purpose and for your betterment. He has no problem with that. He don't care how you feel about it. He doesn't care if you want to write this down. He doesn't care if you're happy or if you're upset about it. Y'all ready to go home? We're good, right? He doesn't care if... I hear this over and over and over. God, He done this. He let me do it because I wasn't happy. God, being honest with you, happy is not in this book for you, really. Blessed, yes. Child, yes. Taken care of, yes. And God doesn't mind if you get happy sometimes, but your feelings or emotions have nothing to do with what God's trying or not trying to get done, will get done. Through you, if you're a believer. 2018 ended. And I feel like David sometimes. I feel like 2017 was me and David. I was keeping dad's sheep. Old knucklehead sheep right there. There's another old, God, I like that rascal right there. Well, that one's a dirty one, but boy, he's fun. I'm not talking about y'all, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? Having the time, not a whole lot, no big troubles, at one point in 2017 and prior, I'm being honest, James, I kind of had this sense in my mind that maybe some things I was impervious to. Anybody else? I'm impervious to that. I won't have to go through that kind of heartache or that kind of pain or that kind of trouble. Somehow, I must be void of that. And then all of a sudden, my Heavenly Father, who loves me like Jesse loved David, said, I want you to go somewhere. Where, Dad? Where, Father? I want you to go down to the battle. Man, awesome. I'm impervious to all kinds of heartache and trouble and death and all kinds of other stuff. I'll just go down there and that's going to be awesome too. 2018. Total different story. So guess what? We're going from 2018 to 2019. And I'm telling you, I hear people, man, it's going to be a great year. I don't know. Now, Scott said it right. And he asked, when he said, did anybody have a bad 2018? My hand shot up. I didn't realize. I thought it was a reflex. Like a brawl. But then I put my, then if you didn't notice, I went like this. I learned more about who God was and who I was and who I'm going to be in 2018. So at first, it was bad. It was good and great. Because even through the worst times, I've seen God do great stuff. Amen? Y'all tracking with me? This. You will sometimes think, man, you will raise your hand and volunteer and be on your way and think you're going to do some of the greatest work you'll ever have to do. And next thing you know, your heart will be on display. Y'all good? Y'all know what kind of message is going to be now, right? Anybody want to leave? You got a second or two. I'll let you get out of here. It ain't going to be that bad. It's really kind of good, I think. I think. Saul armed David with his armor, verse 38. And he put it on his helmet of brass and upon his head. And also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon him and armed him. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I've not proved them. And David put them off of him, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Let's go back. We're not going to get that far. I hope we don't get that far. I want to say this. Do you want to wear the big guy's armor? Yes. Yes. No, okay, y'all didn't. When I said that, y'all didn't. I have some big men in my life. You have big men in your life? Big people? Big women? Big men? Big women? Anyway. Yeah. I have some big people in my life. Amen? I wrote them down like this. Big people. Giants. You may have got some giants in here. No, I'm talking about in your life that are good people, big giant people in your life. Mine was my dad. Mine another was Brother Roy. That's somebody like that. Heroes. People that's on a pedestal. Mentors. Some people that you know, they put some trust and faith in you, and they're teaching you and training you and had some respect. But you look at them and you're like, that's my mentor, right? Okay, yeah, I thought so. All right, here's some better ones. Predecessors. Yes, Kevin, we've had some predecessors. Somebody that went before you in the same thing that you've been called to do. And you might be constantly reminded about who they were, how good they were, or in some area that not. You ever had those? And you're constantly comparing yourself, and the easy thing would be is if they would just take themselves. If dad would have said, all right, here's the dad code. Just slide it in there, son, and you'll make all the right decisions, and your life will be just, you know, great, and your kids' lives will be made. There you go, dad code. That'd be great. Give it, right? I want the preacher code. I do. I want the guy that had the big ministry and it's doing great, no troubles, and he's at the end of his life, you know, 68, 70 years old. Man, just seems like all the wisdom in the world is just right there. Hey, what about this? Got an answer for that guy. How about that? There's an answer for that. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know anything. Man, are y'all good? I see y'all good. Let me just take this. Here's the helmet. Here's all the knowledge. And here's all the protection. Here's all the weapons you're going to need. Thank God. Man, I can tell you how many times I've listened to other preachers, seen other teachers, seen other parents, seen other leaders, seen other bosses. God, don't you wish they could just hand it to you? You can't. Saul said, here, take it. I don't care why he said, take it. David was like, absolutely. And listen, I've read this a million times. David never said, no, thanks. He put it on. This will be awesome. The only problem is it don't fit. Listen, and if it don't fit you, there's going to be chinks in your armor. And the devil's going to get into those places where it doesn't fit you. I had this little slogan I wrote. a note right up there on my notes. I know I did this time because I got them with me. I usually don't carry my notes, but I wrote it down. I said, Saul had his own devils. Saul had his own demons. That hero, that giant, that person you put on a pedestal, that mentor, your dad, your mom had their own demons. They were as scared as you, intimidated as you, made some wrong decisions like you, and you know what? They had to deal with it. You know what? And David knew it. But sometimes we look at people and we think, they never struggle like I struggle. They never hurt like I hurt. They're above that. Sometimes we could put people in that position, and yet David played the harp for Saul just so he could get some sleep because he was being tormented. But somehow, when he was given the opportunity to put on his armor, he said, "Yes, I'll be just like you." Amen? Can't be just like you. You've got issues that I don't have, and I have issues that you don't have. It don't matter. We got issues. We got devils. That's why, you know what? He put it on, and he tried it. It don't fit. I got to take it off. Amen? I got to take this off. I've got to displace it. Find your own armor because it won't fit you. Did God call you to be another him? Why did God need two? Why did God need two Sauls? Didn't. And God don't need two Davids. And God don't need two of whoever else you compare yourself to. Amen? God don't need two of them. What he needed was one of you. With all of your flaws, all of your weaknesses, all of your fears, all of your anger, all of your bitterness, all your all of it, all your childhood stuff, all the stuff that you act like you don't have but you do have, and all your intelligence, and all your charisma, and all your wit, and all your knowledge. He uses it all. All your experience. That's who you are. And that's why God called you down there. But he didn't call you to be somebody else. I tell you, I meet so many ministers because that's kind of the lane I'm in now. They're trying to be somebody else. They've heard another minister preach and they said, I'm going to be like him because he had some kind of success. So I'm going to preach like him and talk like him and say little things like him and do stuff like him. You know what? It's old. It's not good. Because you know what? Everybody says, well, man, it kind of sounds like so-and-so. And after a while, it's not a legitimate thing. It's not yours. It's not unique. I remember the first time I ever preached. I got on the radio and preached. And I preached. And Melissa asked me when I got on the course, she goes, are we going to get a recording of that? And I said, nope. I said, I was trying to be somebody else. I was parroting all the messages that I've ever heard. I said, I'm never going to do that again. Amen? That's not what God wanted from me. God said, hey, I'll give it to you in your weird way. Amen. Y'all say amen right there. It's all right. I'm gonna give it to you your weird way, how you see, and you filter it out, and you tell them like I show it to you because I sent you down there. You got a different perspective of what everybody else is seeing, but I want to say it through that. Is that all right? That's why you're the parent. That's why you're the boss. That's why you're, guess what? That's why you're in that place. That's why you got mentored to be in that position. Now it's your turn. That's why you are the pastor. Sometimes when you're the only parent, when you're the parent, when you're the boss, and you look around the room, you're going, man, I wish somebody else was here to make a decision for me. Amen? That's when you got to rely on God and who you are and do it anyway. Amen? That's good stuff, right? I love this. I love what he does. If y'all would turn over with me, don't be afraid. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10:4, but I want to first say, don't be afraid to take it off. What doesn't work for you, even though it worked for him. Don't be afraid. Whew, golly, that's hard preaching here. Don't be afraid to take off what everybody else has done. Amen? Have you ever put something on that didn't fit? God, the worst one's when it's too small. I'm a big guy, and I put shirts on. Oh, Lord. Come on, y'all act innocent. I put shirts on that were like two times too small, and trying to get them off. You look like kind of like a between some kind of word between a seal and a sea lion. You look like you're in a fight with yourself. James, you know what I'm talking about. These other people can act innocent, but you do know what I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding. You're sitting there and you're pulling, you wish you had another, and you almost want to say, would somebody reach back here and get this thing off my head? Amen? You got it? You look like a fool taking it off because it didn't fit. It didn't fit you. It didn't fit your ministry. It doesn't fit your church. It doesn't fit your family. It doesn't fit your job. Well, it sounds good, and you get some advice from some people. Boy, this is what I'd do. In your case, this is what I'd do, raising that or doing this with your family, and guess what? They don't have a clue. Amen? And be honest with you, God didn't give them your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your co-workers or your church or your Sunday school class. He gave them to you. And you could try to put on, man, you know how many times I've tried to be a good teaching preacher? I'm going to stay steady. I am going to stay still. I'm going to stay behind that pulpit. I ain't moving. I ain't going to move. I'm not going to go 1 foot. I can stay there, man. I'm like all over the place. Amen? Because it doesn't work for me. And it does. It hurts. It looks weird sometimes when you got to take off the mold that didn't fit. But if you don't want to, I don't want the devil to wear me out. Because that stuff don't work for me. It can work for you. It can work in your parenting style. It can work in your leadership style. But praise God, it ain't working for me. And instead of getting whooped, killed, destroyed, having the devil run loose in my life, I think I'll just trust God and trust what I know. Amen? I can remember one time when the boys home. They tell you all the time, don't get too close, don't do this, don't do that, you know, stay away, don't try too much. Man, one day I felt like I had just messed up as a house parent. And I mean, we had six knuckleheaded boys in our boys' home, anywhere from 13 to 17 years old. You know what I mean? If you ain't raised teenagers, just nod your head. If you have, sit there and go, you know exactly what you're talking about. Check this out. I got home and I was frustrated with them boys. And I had, man, it was a me thing. It wasn't a them thing. And I lined them up. I said, all you boys, get in the house and line up. And they were sitting there and you could see them. And I was bigger than all of them. They're all like. I walked, and I was like, I was back in the Marine Corps. I walked up and I was like this. I said, you know what I've done, boys? And they're like, no, sir. I've done something that I should have done. They're like, what? I said, I am acting like an idiot today. And you know what? I love you guys. And I started hugging each one of them. I just told them, man, I love you guys. Man, I really do. And I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm treating you like you're a job and you're just a boy. And everyone, I mean, it's like, finally, we broke him. You know what? What happened though is it didn't work for me. Just to be I got rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. You'll get rid up with that. You'll get fired. The state will do this if you do that. That ain't working for me, man. I love people. I'm a relationship type person. If I can't start to care about you and show you that I'm in trouble. Every one of those boys, when they left there, it was like our kids leaving home. You're like, heart ripped out. And that's why they tell you not to get so close. But it doesn't work for me. Robotics don't work for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, and it probably worked for a lot of people. But it just didn't work for me. Man, so don't be afraid to take off. Amen? Don't be afraid to take off what don't work. And don't be afraid to carry the weird you. Oh, some of y'all, you're weird. I had to look down when I said it because I didn't want to look at none of y'all directly. Because right after this, are you talking about me, preacher, being weird? This is a little bit. And listen, in verse 40, I'm going to read 40. I'm going, I promise. I'll be over there, 2 Corinthians 10:4. And he took him a staff in hand and chose him 5 smooth stones, right? He took the tools of a shepherd to battle a man of war. Amen? Let me go back over here and show you this. 2 Corinthians 10:4 reads like this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. Put it this way, they're not the same. Amen? We don't need a sword. We don't need a gun. We don't need a knife. We don't need what normal. We don't need a helmet. We don't need the typical things that everybody else needs to go. When somebody else say, she's a spiritual warrior. He's a spiritual warrior. It looks different than you think. Some of y'all think y'all are going to jump out of a helicopter with green war paint on, and y'all are going to be like, oh, God's about to send me into the mission. You know, it looks quite opposite of that. Man, I don't want to cry. Hold on. Let me get this. Mighty, listen, they are not carnal. They don't look the same, but they are mighty through God to pull down the strongholds. They're you sitting beside the edge of the bed, not knowing whether the person you love is going to live or die. And you crawling off on the floor and crying and saying, God, help me. Or when somebody's given you a word, they've given you something that you didn't ever expect to get, and you close the door, and you say, God, I'm going to have to make a bunch of decisions now. Help me. Amen. When they're willing, the person you love the most, down a hallway, and you're hoping they're going to come back. Amen. That's when you're that Green Beret jumping out of the back of the helicopter to the enemy. Because when you look weak, the rest of the world sees you. They see you and they go, they're crying, they're weeping, they're weak, they're broken. And God says, no, they're powerful. Strongholds are coming down. Sickness is being broken. People are being healed. I'm using doctors as supernatural agents. I'm doing things in their life. I'm restoring. I'm making whole. No, you see weakness. See, that giant looked, and David came down there and he had a shepherd's staff and a bag full of rocks and a sling, and he looked like a shepherd on a battlefield. But he wasn't. He was a warrior. But a different kind of warrior. Amen? A different kind of warrior. Because you know what he did? He took to the battlefield what works. Not what somebody thought would work for him, but what works for him. What worked for God through him to defeat the enemy. Amen? I was sitting there today and please don't guard, if I read this and the grammar's terrible, that's who I am. And I know the punctuation's terrible, but y'all can't see that part, thank God. This is what I wrote today. And I might, this is not Bible, this is just a thought. And I'll tell you where this came from. A night or two ago, a person called me and they said, hey preacher, I'm struggling. Will you pray for me? Yes, I'll pray for you. Amen? And I do. Automatically, I just sort of saying, God help them. Strengthen them, whatever they're going through, whatever they need. And I knew there's some things going on. And then they asked me, what would you do? Didn't reply. What scriptures would you do? What scriptures would you use? I didn't reply. I'm terrible, ain't I? Y'all right? I didn't reply right away. Start praying. I said, friend, I love you. And I'm praying. But if you'll get real close to God, you'll find the scriptures that work for you. And you'll find what really works for you in this season of your life. I said, I might give you something that works for me, but it might not work for you. So I'm praying for you in this situation. And I'll keep praying. And I told him, I said, if God put something in my spirit to give you, but I don't want to give you something that doesn't work for you, but it worked for me. I felt like a failure. I sat there going, man, I couldn't even make one up. But then this came along today and it kind of made sense. And not only, I've been that. I've asked for that. I've wanted that. Amen. Just to be fair, I've done that before and I've wanted that. And I've felt like I've needed that. Amen. Y'all good? But this is how I've seen David trying to get Saul's armor and go into a battle. This is how I see us as Christians sometimes when we're going into some hard stuff in our lives. We want Betty Crocker faith. Just add water and stir. That's what we want as believers a lot of times. We don't want to measure and pour and try ingredients to make our own authentic outcome. We don't want to pour over the Bible ourselves and to find our own scriptures for life. We don't want to pray ugly and sift for hours and wait and let them bake in the hot ovens of life. We don't want to stir up our gifts and serve others when we well know we need to be served and ministered to. I want to stop right there for a second because it reminded me of my mom. I don't know if my mom ever ate a hot meal. I could just see it. I could see her every meal, when we were boys growing up. Biscuits, gravy, sometimes chocolate gravy, bacon, eggs, and sometimes lasagna. I don't know why. I guess that was just raising two big boys who could eat the whole refrigerator in a couple hours. She would make a lot of different meals. And we'd eat all of them. Anyway. But I knew she was hungry, and I knew she was tired because she worked two jobs. But she always cooked for us, and she always fed for us when she was tired, and she was hungry, and always ate after us. Many of moms sitting in this room have done that. Many things, I know. But I thought to myself, that's how you figure out who God is. You serve others when you don't want, when you need to be serving, when you need to be served. Just keep serving. Keep working. Keep pushing forward. Amen? You'll find your ministry, you'll find God in that. Ooh, no, sorry. I just... With the least amount of time, let's go back. Say a prayer and do... Nah. Yeah, there it is. What we desire is someone to quote a verse, to say a prayer, and do something, and we walk out whole and done. With the least amount of time and heat and work as possible. Yet when we do this time after time, no one wants what we have because our faith is generic. There is no real to us, so no one wants what we have because it's just an in-the-box type of faith. The taste is bland and it's unoriginal, and to be honest, it's phony faith. You have Betty's recipe, not your own. You have someone else's faith, not your own. The devil is the only one eating this faith, and he is killing you and your life because he loves easy-baked faith. It never lasts in the fiery furnaces of life. So many times, we want God, or God's man, or God's woman, or God's person, say a prayer, touch me, and send me, and I'm going to be all right. What I'm telling you is, find God for yourself. Find out what works for yourself. Find those scriptures that help you. Amen? They might not make sense to anybody else but you. Say those prayers that work for you. I've told you what mine are. God, help me. And repeat. That's Kevin's go-to prayers. Amen? You'll know when I run out of myself. I'll probably be beside you somewhere praying somewhere, and I'll say, God, help us. I know it don't sound great, but God is good at that. Amen? He's really good at those. And serve. Serve, serve, serve. You will, when you're helping other people, when you're involved in other people's lives, it's amazing how God heals you. It's amazing. When you're broken and you're a mess, don't say, God, why did this happen? Say, God, I know this happened. Who do you want me to help because this happened to me? Who do you want me to comfort with this? With this. You gave me this because you can trust me with it. I see some people and I'm sitting there going, man, God put too much on their plate. No, God put just enough on their plate for them to help a whole lot of people. Amen? That's what God's doing. Amen? And He don't mind to do it. He'll do it over and over and over again in your life. Amen? I love the story of David. It's a vehicle. I love the story of David. I didn't have to tell y'all to reference anything. I didn't have to, you don't have to explain any context. But you know what you do have to do? Find out what works for you. Don't be somebody else in every aspect of your life, where you work, your family, your faith. Amen? Be you. That's who God wants there, apparently. Because if He didn't, you wouldn't be there. Let's all stand. As they come get a song of invitation.